Hello, Suns fans, and welcome to our first official podcast here on Suns Radio. I'm Kieran Turner, and today I'm joined by a couple of the Suns heavy hitters. First of all, I've got the General Manager of Communications, Stephen Wilson.
Thanks, Kieran. Good to be here.
And football immortal, Malcolm Blight.
Kieran, thank you very much. Heavy hitters. Well, I've lost a couple of kilos, mate. The season's finished, so I'll trim down again. So
you are looking good, Malcolm, I must say. Probably the first thing we need to start with is a name for this podcast. We don't have one at the moment. Do you have any ideas, potentially? I heard you, before the show started, you might have one.
Yeah, I think so. It's called the Shining Blight Hour. A bit of a play on the suns and shining, and also blight or light, whatever you like to call it. But anyone can, they can really call it what they like, Stephen, can't they?
They probably can. Probably a good one to push over to the fans and see what they want to go with. I don't mind Shining Blight, but all the fans like it. We're here for the fans, so what do they think?
Absolutely. If you've got any ideas, email them through to us, digital@goldcoastfc.com.au. Blighty, what have you been up to in the last few weeks? It's probably a good way to start the show is get an update on what you've been doing.
I'm being club ambassador now. We've actually started a new coterie group called Team 22, which has actually been quite successful. I think business people on the Gold Coast have been very generous with their time, and also a mentoring program for our players. So we've been spending a bit of time with them and also a bit of time on the golf course. What, did I slip that in? Who said that?
Team 22, does that mean you've got 22 members?
It means we will get 22 eventually, Stephen. No, we've had a good year. First up there with 15, which has been great. We've got a couple in the can now. So at some stage or other, you'd like to think we could have a team of 22, just like on the ground.
It was a bit of an unknown early how the program would go, but it's really gone really well.
Yeah, look, I think everyone's been really pleased with it. And the camaraderie within the group's growing because they're getting to know each other. And also they're starting to give some of their expertise to our players, which is an important thing.
That's absolutely great. Mm.
The 2016 season, obviously, on field for the Suns was another tough one. Only the 6 wins. Injuries took their toll throughout the midpoint of that year, but there were plenty of positives to take out of it. Malcolm, what are some of yours?
Yeah, look, I think that, I mean, the most fascinating thing is that, you know, I watch every game of footy nearly. I'm still a footy nut. I can't believe that some of the pundits just haven't got that you have your 6 best midfielders out that you can actually still be competitive. I mean, we had that poor patch, you know, after the first 3 wins. And I think that was mainly with this Stephen May, who's become a terrific player, and Rory Thompson, our 2 key defenders out. But there's some kids actually emerged, hadn't there? I mean, Jesse Lonigan probably took a step up. Tuke Miller started off with that ankle problem and got going. And I really enjoyed Alex Sexton's year when he was up and fit. And also a kid that came in late, Braden Fiorini. Wasn't he terrific? So out of it, you never know. And one of the great things I saw the Braden say in an interview after his very good game last week was that, gee, perhaps this gives us opportunity with others leaving.
Absolutely. Steve, probably another thing to talk about is the emergence of the leadership, particularly with those 2 young guys that have really stood up in Tom Lynch and Stephen May.
It's really been a highlight, hasn't it, from the second half of the year. And to think that something positive had come out of Gary going out of the side is pretty amazing to think. But I think Stephen May down back, Tom Lynch up forward, we've seen the next generation of leaders emerge really strongly. And you know, at times there can be discussion about who might captain the side going forward, but we're probably in a good position. There's actually a couple to choose from there, Blighty.
Yeah, look, I think they're in the elite players in the competition now. And this is my opinion. When you're talking about most improved players, you always tend to look for a first year or a second year. But I think those 2 have actually gone to the elite level. And that's bloody hard to do. They've gone from very good to elite. So I think they're the most 2 improved players at the club.
Let's look at some of Tom Lynch's numbers for 2016. 22 games, 153 marks, which was 5th in the AFL. He led the competition in contested marks, 66 goals, which was 3rd in the Coleman medal race. Tomorrow night we celebrate the Gold Coast Suns club champion, and it's hard to look past Lynch, isn't it?
Yeah, no, he's done a great job, isn't he? I mean, 66 goals. I hate turning back the clock a bit here, Stephen, but we just have to. For all those people out there over 25, you must remember this, that there were some other people that played, and 66 goal was an average return in the old days, but now with pushing back and defensive mechanisms and sometimes boring us all watching the game, but however, that's a great effort from Tommy. Now, I forgot the question. What was it?
How many was your greatest haul?
Well, in Adelaide, 126 and 103 in the AFL or VFL, yeah. So 100, easy. Yeah, just rolled them over.
Have you taught Lynchy a thing or 2?
Well, I taught him a bit of goal kicking, but after last week's effort, I'm starting to wonder he's forgotten what I told him. Actually, it was great when he had that shot after Melbourne. I know we didn't win the game, but he said, look, I'm sure Blighty was in here talking about doing a big torpedo. And I grabbed him at a function we were at last week and I said, yes, I would have. And I would have kicked it too.
Just to remind the fans, how far was that torpedo?
Oh, it was 84 to 93, depending on the day, and it can also get to 98 occasionally.
We were recently down in Melbourne, and we had a training session out there at the old Princes Park, a lot of the boys went out to the spot that they thought you kicked it from. No one made the distance, so I think there was some that went close. Maisie had a real crack at it.
Yeah, but don't forget, it still kept on going over the grandstand. They still haven't found the footy, you know. It was on some train going down Royal Parade, as you know, at that wonderful Carlton place.
back to the original topic, obviously.
What were we talking about? Weren't we talking about me? No,
we're
come
talking
on.
About the Club Champion Award tomorrow night. Who's going to take that out? So
right, now, I'm not in the football department now, so I actually have no idea of voting. I would have in previous years. This is just my iPert. You know, there's experts, but I've got an iPert. I would have thought that what you said was Tommy looks good. There was a lot of games, though, we couldn't get the ball to him, and there was a lot of poor games in that middle pit that probably no one voted. You know, it was a really strange type. The other guy I reckon's had a really good year. I think he's had his best year is Jared Harbrow. He's been solid down back. And the other guy, I reckon, Jack Martin, played really well early at up forward. Then they've had to move him back when we had all those injuries. They would be my three. And as I said, I've got no idea, but that would be the three guys that I reckon will be up there somewhere.
Stephen May came home really strongly as well.
Yeah, Stephen missed those five games, so he could be top five, I suppose. Yeah,
Steve, your top three? Who would you say is up there?
You can't go past Tom. A fantastic year. I think you're right with the guys you mentioned, Harbrow, Martin, May... Miller, maybe?
Yeah, Miller, he had that ankle injury early, didn't he? Just sent him back a bit.
Yeah, but he certainly finished off strongly. Similar to Stephen. Yeah.
And Alex Sexton's had some really good games too, so I think he should be top 10, I reckon, for the first time. That, once again, that's just a guess.
That's right, and I think looking back, and the guys we were talking about, probably for second or third position in Harbrow and Martin, you know, they've played some consistent footy this year and actually been out on the park. Yeah. I don't think is his third year, and I reckon he's managed about half a game the first couple of years, for him to play, I think, 21 games, he missed one against Hawthorn down there in Tassie, but it's been a really good effort from him, and I reckon he gets overlooked at times.
Yeah, he does. I thought he's been terrific, and I mean, the other thing about it is two of them in defence, and the ball was down there a fair bit, wasn't it? But I thought those two played really well.
How did you see Martin when he moved to defence?
I loved him. In fact, I remember Scotty Clayton, our list manager, saying that in a couple of games, he actually saw him as a junior play behind the ball. Well, half-back, I guess, but played behind the ball and also on wing. So you can imagine him hanging around that midfield and he can kick a goal. So I hope he has a great pre-season now and really takes that next step.
Probably a couple of others. Aaron Hall started the season on fire. He faded away a little bit, but would have grabbed some votes early.
Yeah, he would have. He's just got that touch of inconsistency, Aaron, hasn't he? And it's his first full year at it. In the midfield, you know. So hopefully he can go away and have a good summer too.
You forget about that. He was Brownlow favourite, wasn't he, after about three rounds?
That's true. I mean, he'll certainly finish in the top 10, which is going to be a great get for him.
And probably Gary Ablett as well. He only played the 14 games, but did show some real glimpses of what he's capable of.
Gee, we've forgotten about him, haven't we? Gee, how quickly you forget. No, he did. He did get going again, didn't he? So that was good.
Something you touched on before, Malcolm, was the most improved. It's one of the awards of the night. Steve, who do you think's going to be up there for that?
Oh, I'd like to think Jack Martin. I think we know we've spoken about him in the top three, sort of for the BNF. But I think Jack's year's been outstanding. Peter Wright's probably another one who's had a really good year as a young bloke. But I know, as you said, mentioned before, Malcolm, you really couldn't go past May or Lynch.
No, there's sometimes overlook, you know, that as I said, to go from that very good player to elite, you've got to be a really good player, first of all, and you've got to have a lot of ticker in you. But we tend to look for the youngsters to give it an encouragement award. We almost should call it the encouragement award, shouldn't we?
One of the things on today's run sheet is a photo of you, Blighty, from the 1978 Brownlow medal.
What a handsome-looking fellow.
The fashion's obviously one of the things that the boys take pretty seriously, and a lot of effort goes into their outfits.
And the girls,
obviously, as well. It's the night of nights. What are you going to be wearing tomorrow night?
What I'll be wearing is a suit, isn't it?
The club suit.
But here is a herringbone suit. Is it called the herringbone suit in the 70s when I wore that?
I wasn't around in the 70s, Malcolm.
So. dear me. Famous night. It is a good night. Best and fairest. You were talking about the best and fairest or the Brownlow?
The best and fairest tomorrow night, and just your outfit and if it'll rival the one you rocked out 35, 40 years ago.
No, I think I'll just wear a subdued darky suit and a subdued tie.
When you, this photo, we'll put it up, will we, Kieran, on so the
yeah, we'll put it on social media, let the fans have a look and tell us what they think.
How much effort did go into that, or is that what you wore to work that day?
Yeah, I would have worked straight for work. Yeah, no, none whatsoever. It was just a suit with a, and ironically, a bright red tie. I, what was I thinking? No, it wasn't me. It was my wife. Patsy would have done that. How do I pick any? I don't pick anything.
Yeah, red tie would be common these days, wouldn't
it? Yeah, it would be, yeah. Particularly at the Suns.
One of the big talking points, obviously, at the moment is player movement, and there's a couple of midfielders that have signalled their intention to depart the club over the upcoming trade period. Malcolm, one of the big moves of the 70s was you from Woodville to North Melbourne. How much has player movement changed since then?
A fair bit now. In those days, you move for two and sixpence or a dollar. They move for a bit more now. But look, I think that, I mean, it's effective life. The only way I can argue it is to say that we would never have seen Gary Ablett and Jared Harbaugh up close if that wasn't the case. So, I mean, people move for all sorts of reasons. Certainly financial is one of them.
How does the Suns midfield shape up in 2017, do you think?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think our trading and our selections are going to be very important. I mean, in essence, you're going to have to replace two that we know of in Presti and O'Meara. Gary Ablett hopefully will come back good, but he might play a bit more forward, so that's three. Who else is coming from knee injury? There's three or four others, isn't there? David Swallow.
You'd expect to see Swallow back. He's progressed really well.
So you might have to look for four more. Now, we might have two of the good kids. So we're going to have to get two, and I would suggest we're going to have to get some experienced players.
There's quite a bit of talent coming through the academy, though, isn't there?
Yes, there is, yeah. Quite controversial, the academies, isn't it? But I think, you know, Jesse Joyce I see signed... you know, for another couple of years, which is great for the local kid. He's done really well. He's been a bit of a surprise packet, really. So hopefully we can get a couple more.
Sad part of footy is always the delistings at the end of the year, and we made four today. Some foundation players there, Seb Tape, Luke Russell and Danny Stanley. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with those guys and what they've contributed to the club.
Yeah, look, I mean, it is sad, isn't it? Sebby Tape is a South Australian like I am, and we all love him, and he's just had some horrific injuries too, hasn't he? And Danny Stanley, of course. Played those handful of games at Collingwood, and he's gone out in a sad way, really, with that broken ankle, hasn't he? And Luke Russell's played, 80 or 90 games, so it's not as though he hasn't given contribution, but at some stage or other, someone's got to make a decision, and that's the fact of life this time of the year.
All three of them have been really different sort of players.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Seb just as honest as they'll come, and the players just love him for that. Yeah. Luke, probably the gel amongst the group, and you would have seen that firsthand when you were there, Blight involved in the footy department, and Danny... just that more mature head early days and help, you know, gel
He helped nurture a few of the younger guys and still doing it. So hopefully, where they go from here, who knows? But I guess, you know, their contribution's been pretty good.
And we all remember that goal that Luke kicked down in Port Adelaide back in 2011, don't we?
It was the first ever win. You never forget that. So, you know, it was an amazing day and he'll be ever in the history books. And Danny was out there and Seb too, I think, that day.
That's
something they'll always hold dearly.
Let's go to a different topic now. Obviously, Mad Monday just happened. The boys, pretty tame effort from them, dressed up and went to play some lawn bowls. What was it like in your day, Malcolm?
Well, in my day, we all worked, except for the sales rep. They went got early to the hotel, let's say the local establishment, and I would have got there about 4:30. So, and we usually had a function on that night because we played in six grand finals in a row. So, you know, we had something to celebrate, well, most of the time when we won, but... But I did try and catch up to them, I can tell you, later on with trying to get a celebratory drink into me.
You've got a bit of endurance when you're in that sort of frame of mind too, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, probably every frame of mind for you, you've got some endurance. But
No, so it was hell of it. I mean, it was just, I mean, who'd want to dress up anyhow? I mean, I don't get it. What do they want to dress up for? Go and have a celebrate, you know, have a little drink. And sometimes some of them now don't even drink, which is great. I mean, do whatever you want to do. It's really the comradeship of it all, isn't it?
How do you think you would have gone with social media if it was around in your day?
Yeah, I would have been... I find it fascinating, the contact that everyone has with each other. But at one stage, and I know it's not like this anymore, I really don't give a rat's toss bag. What anyone has for breakfast. I mean, I really don't care. And I don't care if they're out in town and doing stuff. I mean, it's nothing to do with me. So I don't get involved in it. But I can understand the chit-chat between friends and instead of using a phone, I guess.
It's obviously a danger for modern-day players, though, as you see.
Well, it's a danger if you're doing naughty stuff.
I think it's a good point, Malcolm.
If you're not doing anything, nothing's wrong with it.
No, I think it's probably hard to dress up these days, I think, because they don't really get that opportunity that much to do too much and have a bit of fun like you probably used to do in the older days. It's it's sort of a bit more professional, and they get that opportunity at the end of each year, I think. So
yeah, I mean, footy and major sports, I suppose, in this country have been a bit binge. You know, you sort of work up to the weekend and then you release, you play and release, you know, both socially and physically. So I guess, you know, that, I mean, long as no one does any harm and they don't go overboard, nothing wrong with it.
Well, reports are probably pretty tame compared to the Olympians of late, but anyway.
Something that's really progressing at the club at the moment is obviously the new facilities. You've both been here for a while now. What was it? For the people that don't know what the Gold Coast Suns offices are like at the moment, can you talk us through that?
Yeah, look, one of the... I don't mean this derogatory to anyone or any individual, the AFL or anyone at all, but what the Gold Coast Suns have had to put up with is absolute rubbish. We've put up with demountables for 6 years. We've had the best players in the country. We've had the best kids. And it's, you know, it was just the way it happened, you know, the funds and all that. But the Gold Coast Suns have got no favours at all. None whatsoever. So... And because of the Commonwealth Games and a lot of good work done by people at the Suns, including John Witherif, our former chairman, and his board, to get this training facility and admin facility has been most overdue. Now, I've got a funny idea that some of it may have been our problem in trying to keep some players. I don't know. I've never asked them. You don't try and put them in that environment. And I'm not having a go at anyone here. It's just the way it happened. But it hasn't been great for anyone working in a very ordinary box.
The tin shed, obviously, they call the gym, gets to about 35 degrees in summer. It's going to be a big change into our state-of-the-art facilities that they're going to look at for next pre-season.
Yeah, and I mean, I've said it a few times. As I said, I'm not having a shot at anyone, but to serve that up to an AFL team has been the greatest load of hogwash I've ever seen.
Well, it hasn't been elite, has it?
But, no, you know, of course
not. You can't
sugarcoat it.
No.
And people come there, people from other clubs, you know, I've been around so long now, and people from other clubs, they said, you're kidding. Mm. You're putting up, your players and staff are putting up with this. It's been a sad indictment.
I know, and even we heard some feedback from the Port Adelaide boys on the weekend who, obviously Charlie was up sitting in the coach's box for the game, and the boys asked him, well, where do you train? And he pointed to the tin sheds out the back, and they couldn't believe it, and that's coming from another club. But... You know, pleasingly, the guys had a look through it yesterday after their final meeting, and the guys went across with the coaches to have a look through the new facility, and they just can't wait to get into it come next pre-season, and I think we'll see a real big positive shift from it.
Yeah, well, you'd certainly hope so, wouldn't you?
And let's hope that's reflected on field next year.
Let's hope so, Kieran.
Well, that's all the time we've got for today. Thanks for joining us, Malcolm.
Kieran, you're an excellent question master. There's no such thing. And Stephen, your wisdom is undoubtedly greatest.
Keeping you in line's tough, Malcolm.
Good on you, guys.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the first edition of our podcast. Don't forget to send your ideas through for a name through digital@goldcoastfc.com.au, and we'll be back again next week.